In the summer of 1803, as Americans celebrated their independence, President Thomas Jefferson made two momentous decisions that would transform the nation. After doubling America's size through the Louisiana Purchase, he dispatched his trusted secretary, Meriwether Lewis, on an unprecedented mission to find a water route to the Pacific Ocean through the uncharted American West. This wasn't just an exploration. It was a bold statement of America's continental ambitions. What followed was a 28-month, 8,000-mile odyssey that would test human endurance, yield groundbreaking scientific discoveries, and forever change our understanding of North America. The journey through unmapped wilderness required extraordinary leadership, courage, and adaptability, qualities that would define the expedition's legacy for centuries to come. When Lewis invited his former Army comrade, William Clark, to co-command the expedition, he created one of history's most remarkable partnerships, a relationship built on mutual respect that would be essential to their survival in the wilderness ahead. The Corps of Discovery departed on May 14, 1804, with 45 men in three vessels, a 55-foot keelboat and two pirogues, battling the Missouri River's powerful current. They navigated around fallen trees and shifting sandbars, often resorting to cordelling, pulling boats by rope from shore when rowing wasn't enough, resulting in frequent injuries and exhaustion. Lewis immediately established military discipline, organizing men into squads with specific duties and maintaining guard rotations. When two men stole whiskey, they received severe lashes, demonstrating Lewis's firm but measured approach. By August, they entered a landscape of remarkable abundance. Clark marveled at the beautiful plains, while Lewis documented numerous new species. The men consumed 9 to 10 pounds of meat daily from plentiful game. Yet dangers persisted, as evidenced when their first grizzly bear encounter required 5 lung shots to kill the animal, with Lewis noting, "The curiosity of our party is pretty well satisfied with respect to this animal." The expedition's diplomatic mission matched its physical demands. Jefferson had instructed Lewis to announce tribes' new father and establish peace for trade. Their first major test came with the Teton Sioux near present-day Pierre, South Dakota. A formal council deteriorated when chiefs demanded more gifts and blocked their departure. The confrontation nearly erupted into violence. Clark drew his sword, while Lewis readied the swivel gun as warriors prepared their bows. Only Chief Black Buffalo's intervention prevented bloodshed when he seized the tow line and ordered his warriors to stand down. During winter at the Mandan villages, the expedition built Fort Mandan as temperatures plunged to 45 below zero. Lewis provided medical care, including toe amputations on a frostbitten boy using only a handsaw. When food ran low, Private John Shields established a blacksmith shop, trading repaired tools for corn. Throughout winter, Lewis documented everything from waterways to local economies, preparing a 45,000-word report for Jefferson with botanical specimens, mineral samples, and live animals. On April 7, 1805, the expedition entered uncharted territory. Lewis called this moment among the most happy of my life, fulfilling a darling project of mine for the last 10 years. By June, they reached the Great Falls of the Missouri, 5 cascades spanning 12 miles. The 16-mile portage proved grueling, with men hauling heavy loads over rough terrain until collapsing from exhaustion. By mid-July, finding the Shoshone became Lewis's priority, as their horses were essential for crossing the mountains. When Lewis finally encountered a Shoshone scout on August 11, the man fled despite Lewis's attempts to identify himself as Tababone, white man. The next day, Lewis reached the Continental Divide, discovering immense ranges of high mountains still to the west of us, shattering theories about a simple mountain chain. When Lewis finally made contact with Shoshone warriors, an extraordinary coincidence occurred. Their interpreter, Sacagawea, recognized Chief Kamea White as her long-lost brother. She jumped up, ran and embraced him, and threw her blanket over him and cried profusely. This reunion secured the horses they desperately needed. The Bitterroot Mountains crossing was brutally difficult. Their Shoshone guide lost the trail, leading them through terrain thickly strewed with falling timber. Starving and exhausted, they killed horses for food. After 11 grueling days covering 160 miles, they reached a Nez Perce village, completing what Lewis called one of the great forced marches in American history. Their descent of the Clearwater, Snake, and Columbia rivers brought new challenges: dangerous rapids, cultural misunderstandings, and food shortages. By November 7, 1805, Clark wrote, "Ocean in view, oh, the joy!" After deliberation and the expedition's first Democratic vote, including York and Sacajawea, they established winter quarters at Fort Clatsop. Life at Fort Clatsop was miserable. Constant rain, poor diet, and isolation caused widespread illness and boredom. Nevertheless, Lewis documented approximately 100 previously unknown animals and numerous plants. His descriptions of the Sitka spruce and Lewis's woodpecker, the only surviving zoological specimen, showcase his scientific abilities despite primitive conditions. The expedition left Fort Clatsop on March 23, 1806, with depleted supplies. They faced food shortages and theft from locals, culminating when Lewis beat a thief and threatened to shoot future offenders. At Traveler's Rest, they divided. Lewis explored the Marias River with 9 men, while Clark investigated the Yellowstone. This led to their most dangerous encounter when Lewis's group met Blackfeet warriors. After initially peaceful interactions, the Blackfeet attempted to steal their weapons at dawn. In the ensuing struggle, one Indian was fatally stabbed and Lewis shot another. The party fled, covering 100 miles in 24 hours. The reunited expedition reached St. Louis on September 23, 1806, firing a celebratory salute. Lewis immediately informed Jefferson of their safe return with their papers and confirmation they had penetrated the continent of North America to the Pacific Ocean. Lewis's post-expedition life was troubled. As governor of Louisiana Territory, he struggled with administration, alcohol, and debts. When the War Department rejected his expenses, Lewis journeyed to Washington to defend himself. On October 11, 1809, he died of gunshot wounds at an inn, a tragic end for a national hero. Though Lewis might have viewed the expedition as a failure by his death, he had fulfilled his vow to advance the information of the succeeding generation. The Corps of Discovery mapped the northwestern continent, documented hundreds of new species, established relationships with native tribes, and provided invaluable information about the Louisiana Purchase. The expedition transformed America's self-perception. Before Lewis and Clark, western territories remained mysterious, filled with rumors of salt mountains and woolly mammoths. After their return, Americans possessed accurate knowledge of the continent's geography, resources, and indigenous peoples. The expedition claimed Oregon Territory for the United States, establishing the foundation for America's expansion to the Pacific. Jefferson's vision of an empire of liberty seemed audacious in 1803, yet his foresight proved remarkable. The Louisiana Purchase territories eventually formed all or part of 15 states. Their story continues to inspire with its themes of courage, discovery, and the American spirit of exploration that forged a continental nation.